Father in heaven, we thank you that you are indeed a speaking God, that you have spoken into the darkness of this world. And as we listen to the words of our Saviour this morning from the cross, the question and the cry, Father, we pray that we would understand the significance and feel the weight of what Jesus was saying, that we might know and treasure the forgiveness that he purchased for us in our hearts. And we pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus was nailed to a cross and executed on a little hill outside Jerusalem. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, just before he died, he cried out, as we know, in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus is all alone, abandoned by his friends, surrounded by his enemies, and forsaken by his own Father. The sinless Son of God was left to die all alone in physical pain and spiritual isolation. And the question we need to ask ourselves this morning is why? Why was Jesus forsaken by his own Father? Or to put it another way, why did Jesus have to die? Well, before we let the Bible answer that question, it's worth reminding ourselves that this is the fourth saying of the Lord Jesus from the cross, of which there are seven recorded for us in the Gospels. The first three that we thought about already in this series, you'll see coming up on the screen. Firstly, we've had a word of prayer. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. As Jesus hung there on the cross, he prayed, and he prayed for the forgiveness of those who put him there. Secondly, we had a word of salvation. To the thief on the cross who was crucified next to Jesus, "Today you will be with me in paradise." What precious words those must have been to a dying man. And thirdly, we had a word of affection from Jesus to his own mother and the disciple John, "Woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And as we thought about a few weeks ago, every time Jesus opened his mouth and spoke from the cross, it would have been intensely painful as he hung there under his own body weight, gasping for breath. Yet this fourth saying would have been even more painful still, because it involved not only the physical trauma of pulling his weight up on his hands to fill his lungs with enough breath to push out these words, but it also captured the spiritual reality of what was going on, the depths of what Jesus was experiencing in that moment as he cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And this morning, we're going to think about that cry of anguish, that cry of dereliction, under two main headings, which need to be understood in light of each other. We can't look at these in isolation. They need to be understood together. And the first heading is this: at the cross, God was angry. Look at verse 33. "At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. Now, by this point, Jesus has already been on the cross for 3 hours. We're given that time frame back in verse 25. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. It was 9 a.m. when they nailed Jesus to the cross. He's been hanging there in agony for 3 hours. And then at 12 noon, when the sun should have been beating down at its hottest and its brightest, the lights go out and they stay out, and darkness descends for 3 long hours. Imagine what that would have been like. Peak of midday. Morning service maybe finishes 11:15. Head downstairs, grab a cup of tea, bit of a chat with your friends. You walk outside into a lovely summer's afternoon, 12 midday, and all of a sudden the lights go out and darkness descends, and it stays dark for 3 long hours. As Spurgeon put it so beautifully, it was midnight at midday. This wasn't an eclipse. This wasn't just the sun going in behind a cloud for a few hours. This was a statement from heaven, a physical sign communicating a spiritual reality that something deeply significant was happening in this moment. And the rest of the Bible helps us understand what that reality is. You see, throughout the scriptures, light is a symbol, isn't it, of God's good and loving presence. That's why the Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world, because Jesus was God's good and loving presence in this world. While on the other hand, darkness is a sign of God's absence or God's anger that is directed towards sin. There's so many places we could go in the Bible. Amos chapter 5, verse 20, will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark, without a ray of brightness? Zephaniah 1 verse 15, that day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. And the picture continues into the New Testament, Matthew 22 verse 13. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, in the Bible, darkness is a sign, a symbol of God's absence, of God withdrawing his loving presence or his anger directed towards sin. For many people, I know that's a difficult concept to understand or maybe accept. A loving God, kind God that we read about in the Bible, a gracious God who gets angry. You see, it's precisely because God is so good and loving and kind and pure and holy that he does get angry at sin. He can't just sweep sin under the carpet and forget about it as if it's never happened. Imagine a justice system that operated like that, that turned a blind eye to all the wickedness in this world. God cannot do that. Now, the reason that we fail sometimes to understand and accept this concept is that we're thinking often in human terms. The picture that comes straight to mind is what we sadly see in ourselves, maybe sometimes, or each other. This out of control, this outburst, this fly off the handle, this ungodly mess just comes out of our lives. But God's anger is very different to that. It is a measured, controlled, and right response to all that is wrong in this world. You see, when we truly understand how good and perfect and holy and pure our God is, and how sinful and depraved this world has become, it's not actually surprising that God is angry with sin. What is surprising here is who God is angry at. Because when the sky goes black and when God's judgment falls, it wasn't me or you, or another sinful human being on that middle cross. It was Jesus, God's perfect Son. God was angry with Jesus on the cross. Which brings us then, doesn't it, to our second and connected point, which is the cry of abandonment. At the cross, God was angry. And at the cross, Jesus was abandoned. And you see, these two things come together. God's anger directed towards sin and the abandonment that Jesus felt as he bore that sin. You can see that in verse 34. At 3 in the afternoon, 6 hours have now gone by, haven't they? Nailed to the cross at 9. At 12 midday, the sky goes black and it stays black. And towards the end of that period of darkness, Jesus cries out in this loud voice, what it would have taken him to do that. My God, why have you forsaken me? And you'll see from the little footnote in your Bibles, if you've got them open there, that Jesus is quoting here from the psalm that we had read to us this morning, Psalm 22. See, this isn't just a knee-jerk reaction of someone in pain calling out, why? No, it's way more than that. What we have here in the words of Jesus is a fulfillment of all that God had promised throughout the Bible. And the rest of Psalm 22, David goes on to speak about being given over to this time of great trial. Listen out for the language and how it points us forward to Jesus, a trial in which he was despised and rejected. Verse 7, all who see me mock me and hurl insults, shaking their heads. David was hounded and surrounded by his enemies, verse 12 and 13. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey, open their mouths wide against me. A picture depicting these enemies and what they want to do to the Lord Jesus ultimately. And again in verse 16, dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me. Listen to the language, they pierce my hands and my feet. Again in verse 18, they divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. Can you see how all points forward to Jesus? What David spoke of about himself was pointing to a greater fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Verse 15, my mouth is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. David felt wounded, weary, and thirsty, and there was no rest for the agony that he feels, which is why the psalm begins as it does in verse 1 and 2. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. You see, David was well acquainted with the history of Israel in the Old Testament. He knows that in the times gone by, how these desperate situations that God's people find themselves in, harassed and hounded and overwhelmed by different enemies, and they cry out to God for help and for deliverance. And on each occasion, God in his kindness does deliver. But this time, it seems that there is no deliverance. No rescue and no rest. And what David experienced in part, the Lord Jesus experienced in full here on the cross, which is why he cries out, my God, why? Why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Why have you deserted me? Why have you left me to die? It's the only time in the whole of the New Testament that Jesus doesn't refer to God as his Father. You see, for all eternity, Jesus has enjoyed the most perfect, intimate, loving communion with his own Father. Just joy and contentment within the Trinity, within the Godhead. Yet on the cross, for this time, he feels none of that intimacy, none of that love. None of that warmth, none of that fatherly care, none of that kind provision, none of that protection, just the full weight of God's righteous indignation against sin. As one author said, this was the climax of the suffering of God's Son. As darkness descended, as God's judgment fell, the Father turned his face away from Jesus. Which brings us back to the question, doesn't it? Why? Why did the Father turn his face away? Why did God the Father forsake God the Son at the cross? Well, the answer is actually very simple, isn't it? Not because of his sin, but because of ours. Isaiah 53, verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We all, like sheep, have wandered from the path. We have all wandered away from our shepherd God. We have gone our own way, and we have done our own thing. We have wronged our God greatly, yet the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, that is, the iniquity of us all of our sin, all of our rebellion, all of our waywardness, all of our wrong desires, all of our misplaced words heaped upon the Lord Jesus Christ, transferred to him. That's what was happening, wasn't it, on the Day of Atonement back in the Old Testament? Do you remember that with the goat? And the high priest laid his hands on this goat, symbolizing transferring the sin of the nation to this one animal. And then it was led out into the wilderness, out of the camp, carrying the sin of the nation with it, as we've read this morning in Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's what was happening at the cross. Not symbolically, but actually. The sin of all the redeemed was laid to the account of Christ, and he was treated as sin deserved. That's why the judgments of God fell on Jesus instead of me. And that's why God was angry with Jesus, not because of his sin, but because he carried our sin. Listen to the words of Don MacLeod. Some people speak with horror of the penal theory of atonement. It's a bit wordy, isn't it? But basically, some people struggle with the fact that Jesus was punished in our place. But what happened to Christ on the cross? He died. And what is death? It is the penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. The question of whether Christ endured the penalty of sin is not a question of theory. It is a question of fact. On the cross, he was dealt with as sin deserved. The glory of it is, it wasn't his sin, it was ours. It was mine, and it was yours. Which is exactly what the Apostle Peter speaks about in his first letter. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Why? So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. You see, our healing comes from his wounds. Our life comes from his death. Our salvation comes from his sacrifice. Therefore, the way that we respond to our own sin and the salvation that Jesus offers really matters. If you've ever been tempted to minimize your own sin and think it's not too bad, really, is it? You know, maybe we compare ourselves to stuff we see happening across this world and we say, that's terrible. I'm not too bad, am I, compared to that? I'm all right, really. I know I'm not perfect. Yeah, I get a few things wrong. There's some stuff I shouldn't do, but I'm actually not too bad, me. If we're in danger of minimizing our sin and diluting our sin like that, then look again at the cross and see what sin deserves. See how God feels about sin. See what it cost Christ as he bore our sin in our place. And think again about how serious our sin is. And if you're ever tempted to cheapen the grace of God or even dismiss God's love for you, you think, oh, God doesn't really love me, does he? He can't, can he? Then look again at the cross, because it is the greatest demonstration of God's love for this broken and dying world, that in love he would go there for us. How much he was willing to give up. His only son laid down his life so that we can be with him forever. How deep, yeah? How deep the Father's love for us. How vast, beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, The Father turns his face away. That's what was happening at the cross. The Father turned his face away from his own Son as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Or to put it even more simply, Jesus was forsaken at the cross so that if you trust in him, you never will be. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. It's one of the great Bible promises, Old and New Testament. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. But it can only be true because Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus was forsaken so that we never will be. That's the wonder of the cross. But as we'll think about next week, Jesus didn't stay dead, of course, did he? He rose again to new life and conquered the grave and threw open the gates of heaven, that all who trust in him might enjoy his presence and his goodness and his blessing for all eternity. Let me close with the words of a great old poem. He suffered in our stead. He saved his people thus. The curse that fell upon his head was due by right to us. The storm that bowed his blessed head is hushed forever now, and rest divine is mine instead, while glory crowns his brow. Let me take a moment just to reflect on those words, which summarize in so many ways the words of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Moment to respond in your own hearts, and then we'll sing to Jesus together.